How about this? Contentment. Contentment. This passage just leaps off the page at me. Verse 46, it says to 47, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, that's worship, breaking bread from house to house, that's fellowship, doing it from house to house. It says they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Let those words just sink into your mind for a second. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You guys ever feel like your life is a runaway train? Anybody here ever feel like your life is like a train that is out of control and the brakes have failed and there's no way to stop the thing and it is just speeding out of control? Anybody? Man. Sense of being driven. A sense of you know, like you're coming down a mountain in Montana and the brakes have failed because they burned up. And you try to downshift and the clutch won't go in, you know? And you're just, you know, holding on, white-knuckled onto the steering wheel as your life is careening. Yes. Out of control. I have a book on my shelf. It's called Little House on the Freeway. And the cover picture is a person with driving their house down the freeway at 75 miles an hour. And the kids are all hanging out and the wife is hanging out and the dog is hanging on. Life can be like that, man. And this word, simplicity, doesn't that just have a beautiful tone to it? Don't you feel like sometimes, you know, I wish I could just have some gladness, some carefree simplicity in my life? Now, when I was a teenager, I didn't want that. I was bored. I wanted excitement. I was like, man, isn't there anything to do around here? Good grief. But then once I got out in the world and started making a living, then I'm like, man, don't I get a day off somewhere around here? And sometimes you go for so long, time after week, after month, after, and you feel like it's been so long since there's been any sanity in your life. You just wish you could get refreshed. You wish you could take a week off just by yourself and just kind of get your act together and refresh a little bit. Well, you know what? We don't always have control over that in our life. Sometimes the demands on our life are just there. And try as we will, there's just too many demands to be met. And I know the women have complained before. Proverbs 31 woman, they just want to knife her, you know, and strangle her and stuff her body in the closet somewhere. Because, you know, it's like, well, she doesn't live in my house. You know? Man, who is this woman and where did they put the body? Well, life just sometimes is not able to be controlled and brought under control because, you know, all of our kids and all of their demands on our life and our boss and our family and all these other things come together and make our life a little insane sometimes. But you notice it did not say, what encourages me, it didn't say they ate their food with gladness and a simplicity of life. It said they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of what? Simplicity of heart. They weren't driven by the need to have more and more and more and more and more. More possessions, more material items, more jewelry, more titles, bigger cars, more cars in the garage, bigger house, more vacations, more, you name it. They weren't driven as we are in America. And that kind of thing is what can make our life sometimes out of control. Granted, there's things we can't change, but there are some things that we can change. Covetousness can make your life insane. It's not scandalous. You know, God forbid, you know, some minister or something has some kind of sexual indiscretion and stumbling in their life, some moral failure, and it becomes scandalous. But, you know, if they're covetous, people admire them and want to follow them. But covetousness can make your life insane. It can consume you. And it is a terrible taskmaster. Possessions make great servants, but they make horrible masters. And they will enslave your soul. They will enslave your heart when you've got to have this and you got to have that and you got to have the next thing. And you want popularity. You want, and it's not enough that you've got a close friend. You want everybody to like you. And so you just go out of your way to become popular. And you never say no to people because you don't want them to be disappointed in you. And so when they ask you to do this and when they ask you to do that, you don't know how to turn them down until you're running around so much you can't even fulfill the promises you make to them. And you are driven by the need for more popularity, more acceptance. And God's acceptance of you and love for you in Christ is not enough. You got to have that from men also. It can be a slave driver. It can literally enslave your life. And so when you have a church where the people realize how full and rich they are in Christ and with each other, and they're content with that, and they're not chasing after everything under the sun, but they simply are grateful and content for the beauty and the simplicity that God has brought into their life. Man, that can be so healthy. So much peace that can bring. Praise God. You know, shepherds don't drive their sheep. Cattlemen drive their cattle. Shepherds don't drive their sheep. What do? They lead their sheep. So if you're being driven, you're not being driven by Jesus. You're being driven by somebody else. Jesus will lead you where he wants you to go. He says, follow me. Praise God. Last thing, thank you guys for being patient. Last thing, evangelism. This is one of the most critical, crucial principles of a healthy church, and yet it's probably the weakest thing that every church struggles with is evangelism. Anybody here say, I don't struggle with that, man. I am such a fire evangelist that I can't walk into a room without sharing the gospel. Anybody say that? How many people here would say, man, I would love to share the gospel more, and I don't know why I don't. I just seem to make excuses. Anybody would say that? Yeah, amen. I was making excuses just the other day. I had a couple $1 million in my wallet. Yeah, a couple of these $1 million bills in my wallet. And I was buying something at Royal Farms, and that little, still, small voice said, give her one of those. And I made so many excuses in my mind why I shouldn't, and tried to rationalize that that really wasn't the Holy Spirit. But I knew afterwards that was the Holy Spirit. Evangelism, it's so critical. We were talking about how hot it is in here today, and I was joking with Dave and Angie and Mark. You know, oh, yeah, well, that's because I'm going to preach about hell today. I just wanted to set the stage. But truly, truly, this is a reality. This is basic Christianity. This is Christianity 101. There's no hell. Christ didn't need to come and die. I mean, you throw out hell, you might as well just throw out Christianity altogether. Hell is the reason Christ came. To save us from eternity in hell. To save this world from eternity in hell. As we go out into the world, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes are out there who are lost. And who is going to tell them if not us? Evangelism is a sign, a critical sign of a healthy church. All this other stuff is great. And yes, you know, I since finding the Lord, I have found incredible peace. He has given me stability in my life. He has given me joy unspeakable. He has given me friendship and relationships. There have been many beautiful things about being a Christian that I could testify about. But you know what? That's not the bottom line of Christianity. You know, you go out and tell people, if you accept Jesus, you know, your life will be filled with peace, love, joy, and happiness. Maybe. Ray Comfort puts it like this. The gospel is like a parachute. And if you're on that plane 35,000 feet above the air, maybe it's a little bit lower, maybe 20,000 feet or something, whatever. Like it makes a difference when you hit the ground. And you're in that plane and the stewardess comes along and says, hey, I want you to put this parachute on. It will give you peace and joy and happiness. And so the guy puts on the parachute. It's like, wow, sounds good to me, man. Oh, yeah, I want peace and joy and happiness. Who doesn't? So he puts on the parachute, and he finds that it's actually kind of itchy, but he can't scratch it because it's in the way. And frankly, it's kind of bulky, and he can't move around in a seat, and it kind of pushes him forward, so he can't really relax. And it's not only bulky and scratchy and making him hot because it's bearing down on his back, but all the people on the plane are looking at him and laughing at him because he looks like an idiot wearing a parachute on this plane. And now he just gets resentful. He's like, well, man, you know, I don't know about this peace and joy and happiness thing. I feel like an idiot. People are laughing at me. They're making fun of me. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. And he takes the parachute off. Been there, done that. I tried that Jesus stuff. I don't need any of that. But you, stewardess, comes up and gives somebody a parachute and says, you know, by the way, I don't mean to alarm you. but I have it from the pilots that these engines are about to fail. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have to evacuate the plane. And here's a parachute. This will save your life from hitting the ground. Do you think that guy will be grateful? Oh, yeah. He'll put that parachute on, and it may be bulky, and it might be itchy, and it might make him sweaty and hot and stinky, and it might be inconvenient. He might not be able to relax like he wanted to, and people might be making fun of him and laughing at him and calling him names and pointing their fingers at him. But I tell you what, he will not take that parachute off of his back, because he knows that there's coming a time when he has an appointment with the ground. And we have an appointment with the ground. And I tell you what, when that plane starts to, you know, when there's that turbulence starts to come and that engine gives out and the plane begins to bank out of control and that door pops open in that plane, will he have peace because of that parachute? Yes. When he lands, will he have joy because of that parachute? Guarantee it. Will he be happy because of that parachute? You better believe it. Not because the parachute, you know, while he's in the plane makes him any more comfortable, but because that's the difference to him between life and death. He knows at one point he is going to meet that ground, and he would much rather meet it at 5 miles an hour than at 500 miles an hour. That's the gospel. And all these other things are wonderful. You know, the fellowship, the worship, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and all this other kind of stuff, the simplicity of life. But the bottom line is, without Christ, we are destined for hell. And He is our parachute. Thank God for Him. And that is the most critical mission of the church. It's the one thing that we're weakest in. So a healthy church has, as Gene said earlier, outreach. Evangelism, sharing the gospel. And that's I'll tell you what, that's worth more than $1 million. I'll take eternity over $1 million. I'll take eternity over $10 million. Because I have an appointment with eternity. So that's the healthy church checklist. Did I put that on the last page? Yeah. How's your doctrine? How's your fellowship? And by the way, this is also the healthy Christian checklist. So if you're looking at this today, maybe you might want to remember this to make a list at home so that every once in a while you can, you know, give yourself an exam. I don't mean, you know, pull out the hedge trimmers or the otoscope or something like that. You couldn't see in your nose anyway. But do a checklist. Am I in the Word? How's my doctrine? Is it solid? Am I fellowshipping, continually steadfast in my relationships with Christians? Am I worshiping? Am I in church, in the corporate worship of the church? How's my prayer life? Does it even exist? Am I using the gifts He's given to me? Do I see that in my life? Do I see it in the life of the church? Contentment, what's driving me? What's my motive? Am I being driven by the desire for the things of this world, or am I gladly and with simplicity enjoying the things of God, content and ready for eternity? In evangelism, am I reaching out with the gospel so that people can be rescued from hell? Little checklist. Praise God. Are we healthy? How are we doing? I hope we're doing well. Let me say this. Speaking of the reality of eternity, if you've never received Jesus Christ and given your heart to Him and surrendered to Him as your Lord and Savior, and you would like to do that, I would love to take a few minutes and just pray with you to do that. And if you're not ashamed of Him and you would like to do that, please come and see me after the service. I want to talk to you and pray with you. And we want to just secure that and make sure that that is what it needs to be. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen.